things to everybody. Right? We see people wearing a cross, you know, showing off their cross. They have crosses, I don't know, on churches. They have crosses on their arms. So what does a cross mean to you? For eternity? What does a cross represent to you? Life? Salvation?
Redemption?
It's how you take Jesus, who was made fun of. He took our shame. Everything that we, the sin that we have, without Christ, we can never be redeemed. Christ redeemed us. And as we have been worshiping our King and Lord, our Savior, it reminds us how much we need him every day. That we sit at his table and eat with him and fellowship with him. Yeah. So the cross represents the greatest sacrifice ever made to redeem those who are lost. And all of us were lost. Right? At one point, we were so far away from God that God would not even want us. But he still drew us to himself. And, right, he reaches out to the uttermost people. No matter what you have done, God still is calling you because he wants you to know him personally. It's an incredible gift to ponder. Just think, a loving God, a God who spoke creation into existence, is so personal that he wants to know you. He wants you to know him. Because he knows you inside and out. He formed you in your mother's womb. But he wants you to know him. So the cross is a symbol of death, but it's also a symbol of love and life. Something had to die to come into life. We have to die to self so we could actually come alive. Right? We have to die to self in order for Christ to be revealed in our lives. The cross represents hatred, but also love. Jesus died on the cross for you and I to pay for the penalty of sin. Cross is a symbol of atonement. He atoned for our sins. He was the ultimate lamb. He was the sacrificial lamb that could only take away sins and to redeem mankind. It's a place of forgiveness, redemption. It's a place of where Jesus takes our sin, he took upon ourselves, and we become pure and righteous. Sometimes we don't feel pure or righteous, but he's redeemed us. When we confess our sins unto him, he makes us pure. By his blood, he makes us pure. And he gives us his righteousness. Where the cross represents brokenness, but he heals us. He heals our hearts. He heals our souls. He makes us whole. So all is lost, yet everything is gained. We surrender our lives to him and say, Lord, here I am. Use me for your glory, for your kingdom. And yet we gain eternal life. What a great trade. Once the cruelest form of execution, yet now is a symbol of abundant life. We have abundant life through Christ. We should be celebrating that I have abundant life. I'm no longer the same person before I came to Christ. He transforms our hearts. He transforms our lives. I'm no longer the same Kyle that I was 20 years ago. But he's continued to work in my life. He's not done with me. He's not done with you.
astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men.
Mm-hmm. You know, when Jesus said, Father, why have you forsaken me? That's the first time he was ever separated from God. That's the moment when all the sin of the world was put onto him. That's how powerful sin is. It separates us from God. And that's why Jesus came, is to redeem us. So we have a right relationship with the Father. And as believers, we are called to repent. To get right with God. To get right with one another. It's a powerful thing when we see Jesus was whipped 39 times. He was not even recognizable. Right? And that's the love. He went to the cross wholeheartedly. He didn't struggle or anything. He went there wholeheartedly because he knew God's plan for him. He knew what he had to go through to give us eternal life. So when we say coming to receive Christ as a Savior, you know, it's a huge thing. It was a big thing, right? Our lives are manifest or changed. Isaiah 53, 3-11. This is one in the synagogues. Isaiah 53 is not read in synagogues to this day. Because when you talk to a Jew, Orthodox Jew, they say this is New Testament. And so they don't want, so they have blinders, but as soon as they read this and see it's in Isaiah, they come to faith. So Isaiah 53, 3-11, who wants to take a stab at that one? Who wants to read, boys or ladies? Yeah, 53, 3-11. All right. Ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and...
Is that right? Yeah, it's okay. Sometimes I read the wrong scripture, too.
He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if... And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried out our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge, shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities.
Amen. Amen. So who ordained Jesus' suffering? The Father did. So who crucified Jesus? Ultimately, God did, right? We didn't crucify Jesus. God ultimately crucified Jesus. He was this lamb, the word of God coming into this world as flesh. So Isaiah 53:5 says, yet the Lord laid on him the guilt of the sins of us all. Isaiah 53:10 says, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and fill him with grief. It's amazing what God did, right? Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Through Christ, we are given all things. Through Christ, we have redemption. Through Christ, we have eternal life. Through Christ, we have hope, assurance, strength, perseverance. Through Christ, he strengthens us. So God planned it. And by no means was from the wicked man, but God planned it to redeem mankind because sin came into the world by Adam. So he had to bring in a sacrificial lamb. And only God himself is holy and righteous, the only one that could take away sin. So the Son, Jesus, embraced his suffering. That's amazing. He didn't open his mouth. He didn't say a word. He didn't, you know, when we suffer, we like to bark back. Sometimes we like to say things. Sometimes it should be better to keep our mouths quiet. And here's Jesus through his sufferings. He didn't speak ill will to them, but he just received it because he knew what God's plan was. John 10:17-18 says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. This is Jesus saying. This is why the Father loves him, because the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. That's Jesus saying. Nobody takes his life from him. But I lay it down on my accord. So when somebody says, who killed Jesus? Jesus laid down his own life. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. And after he was buried, God raised him up from the dead. It's amazing. For 3 days he was in the grave. He wasn't in the grave, but he was doing other things. Taking the keys from hate, from Satan of death. Redeeming, and there's a lot of things he was doing, and that we should not have any fear of dying. When we have our life in Christ, if we are born-again believers, followers of Christ, we should have no fear if I die today. Because we know where we go. We have that blessed assurance, that blessed hope. So what's the benefits of his suffering? His suffering, his sacrifice purchased for us salvation from hell, forgiveness of sin, removal of guilt. Do we feel guilty today? Are we holding on sin? When we confess this and say, Lord, take this sin from me. Lord, I want to turn away from this sin. Lord, empower me to not walk in the sin any longer. And also, Lord, remove any guilt caused from this sin that I've been walking in. And as soon as you ask that, he removes that guilt and that shame, that you no longer have to think about it anymore because it's been dealt with. Jesus says when you confess any sin to him, he says, if you confess your sin unto me, I will forgive you. And I choose not to remember it any longer. So God makes a purpose of choosing not to remember that sin anymore. So why do we? When we confess it wholeheartedly to him. The benefits of his suffering on the cross is deliverance from bondages. That's the glorious thing about the cross and why a lot of people want to come against the cross or remove the cross in the church. Because of Christ, we can be delivered from bondages. We don't have to be held by bondages from our past. We don't have to be held by bondages from generational curses that have been upon us. We can be set free from that. So healing from inner hurts, that was accomplished when we asked, Lord, heal these hurts that I have. Sometimes the Holy Spirit reveals hurts in our lives. He says, are you going to, and he brings those to memory, not to bring harm, but to say, Lord, if I need to forgive somebody, Lord, I forgive that person, even if they have passed away. Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them for even for saying those words or doing this. And I wholeheartedly forgive them, Father. But help me, Lord, to pray for them or to bless them, to be able to release them to you. So the cross is also the restoration of relationship with God, restoration of relationship with others. You think of the body of Christ, how many different ethnic groups are in the family of God now? And only through Christ we have unity. Unity is a beautiful thing. Only Christ can do that. Victory over death of Satan, right? That's why Satan doesn't want us to talk about the blood of Christ or remember the sacrifice of Jesus. He wants us to forget those things. The suffering of Jesus brings us in the very presence of God. And it gives us a desire to do the will of God. And because of the cross, we have peace and joy, contentment. Christ gives us contentment. If we're not content, why aren't we not content today? Right? That should be a sign if we're not content. Lord, help me to be content in you alone. You know, Satan does not want us to experience those benefits. Do you know that? He wants you to doubt all the benefits that Jesus has done and given us. He wants us to doubt God's word. He wants to undermine God's word. He wants to bring in lies. So it's easier to believe a lie than truth. We know that, right? It's always easier to believe a lie. And which baffles me is, why do we choose to believe a lie more so than the truth? When God says, this is going to happen, this is what I'm going to do, God has a plan and a purpose for you, God has placed us in a race, he wants us to persevere, and he has given us all things necessary for life and godliness, and though we say, Satan comes along, did God really say that? And sometimes we go, yeah, I think so. But so we need to take captive of those thoughts and to make those thoughts obedient to the word of God. What did God say? What did God say? And who does God say that you are? His child. And we have, as a child of God, we have all the benefits that is given from God. And we have to choose to really to accept those gifts and those benefits. It's like when you get a credit card. You have a credit card, but what do you have to do to use it? You have to activate it. So are we activating what God has given us? Are we saying, Lord, I know your word says this. Lord, I know that you set me free. I know, Lord, that you forgive me. Lord, I know that I could forgive others because it's you that helps me to forgive. He's the one who encourages us to let go of the past, to trust and move forward. Lord, I know I have this hindrance in my life. And Lord, I know that you're unable to help me through this. You see the benefits from the Lord? We should be praising him and saying, Lord, thank you for so much. Lord, thank you that you do set me free. And Lord, thank you that you are setting me free from other things that you're bringing up to my mind. You know, when Jesus cried out, it is finished, he's saying that there's no other sacrifice. He's completed everything. And there's no other thing that needs to be added to it. In Colossians 2:14-15, it says, he canceled the record of the charges against us. This is what Jesus did on the cross. He, in Colossians 2, 14 to 15, says, he canceled the records of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by the victory over the cross. Do you know that Jesus never did anything and hid it? He did it publicly to shame Satan, to reveal who he was. He nails everything to the cross, and so then there's healing. So I'll close with this one. And after we'll grab the communion cups and the bread. And so it's Hebrews 10, 26. It says, dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth, there's no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. If we deliberately sin by doing the same sin over and over again, right? Deliberately walking into that sin. He doesn't want us to deliberately just to go, oh, I know God's just going to forgive me. I'm just going to do it. I'll ask for forgiveness later. But that's taking God's grace in vain. And God does not like that. So if we're taking God's grace in vain, truly be repent of. Truly don't just walk into sin wholeheartedly. But Lord, help me change my eyes, change my focus, change this thing that draws me to that sin. And he can, and he will. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant which made us holy as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disbanded the Holy Spirit from God's mercy to us. When we sin deliberately, we quench the Holy Spirit. And as we forgive, ask for forgiveness, he's freely to forgive. So as we take communion today, we're going to be reminded, what does communion mean? What does it represent? And so if we need to take time before we take communion to repent, to get right with God, let's do so. Right? As we take the cup and eat the bread, we're reminded of what Jesus has accomplished. And that we have a new covenant with the Lord. That we have been cleansed, that we have been renewed, that we're no longer the same person that we came into this world as. But we have God has a plan and a purpose for each one of you. And as we spend time with him, he gets to reveal that, as Crean read this morning, right? He reveals to us who we are in him. That's why it's so important to fellowship with him. So then we get to know who we are with him and who we are to him. So, where's Caitlin? Here, Caitlin, I'll help you. Come up here. Come on, don't be shy. Don't be shy. Who else wants to help with communion? Okay, Eric. Who else wants to help? Okay. You too then. Well, no. Caitlin, you don't want to come? Okay, you too. You? All right. So.
I want to get the tricky one this time.
You want the tricky one? Okay.
Thank you.
So I need, all right. Let's just pass that. I'm short one person. Who else? You want to take two? Here. Who wants to come up? You guys? So you guys just go out there. So when we take the bread today, you know, when Jesus at the Last Supper, the Seder, he he broke the bread and he told his disciples, said, this is the bread. It represents me, represents Christ. And we eat flat bread because it represents no sin in the Lord. And if we had matzah, it would be pierced and we'd be able to look up and see all the piercings and stripes in it, representing what he went through for each one of us. But let's not this be a somber time. Let's be joyful that we have been redeemed. Right? It's a celebration. It's like, Lord, thank you that I'm a child of God, that you're reminding me that I have been redeemed. I'm no longer the same. I thank you, Lord, that you are working in my life, transforming me more into the image of Christ, to have more of a character of Jesus, that I don't have to worry about these things that right now that you're working out of me, like bitterness, resentment, rage, maybe a sin that is shame or anything, or maybe, you know, sometimes certain sins, or maybe it's because it's a generational thing. And so we have to pray against that, to have that broken off. But as we take the bread, we think of it, think of the Lord Jesus. We thank him, Lord, we thank you for how you have redeemed us, how you continue to intercede for us every single day and present us before the Father with great joy. That's what the Lord Jesus is doing right now. He's presenting you before the Father with great joy. Lord, help us to see that, to know that we were actually redeemed. Lord, help us not to be living in self-pity, but Lord, that we live in the full knowledge of Jesus Christ, to know that we are been redeemed. We're no longer ourselves. So as Jesus broke and he says, take this bread and eat it, out of the remembrance of me. And so as we chew on this bread, we're chewing on the bread of life. It gives us life, eternal life. So Lord, we thank you for your body. Then after supper, he said, take this cup. It was the third cup of the Seder, and the cup that represents redemption, that we've been redeemed. So when we take this cup, we're reminding ourselves that we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, by the perfect Lamb, the Lamb of God, who takes away sin, that purifies us, that cleanses us. Lord, we thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for that as we take this cup, that we are actually remind ourselves that we belong to you, that we do no longer belong to ourselves, that you have purchased us 100% by the blood of Christ, by your blood. So Lord, as we drink this, let us remember that we've been bought and paid for by the blood of Christ.
Amen. Thank you,
Jesus. Amen. So just leave the cups. Can you just play that last one? Just leave, hold the cups in your hand. We won't move.
Has done. Name them and see what God has done. We're burdened with a load of care. Blessings will fly as the days go by. Your blood. Many blessings, see what God has done. Your journey. Blessings, name them one by one. Blessings, see what God has done.